Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Such Good Shootin', the Johnners Podcasting Network is proud to welcome you to Such Good Shootin', the podcast about everything and anything in the world of wrestling. Up there with my main man, Isaac.
Oh, hello.
Over there, we have Shane. Yep. But today, most importantly, we have a very special guest. Oh, baby himself, Heath.
Or as everyone really remembers you, Heath Wallace Miller, Esquire.
Yes.
Holy crap, you went back that far to do research?
You gotta try and, you know, you gotta dig a little bit, man. You know?
If you're gonna start, like any story,
you should probably start at the beginning. But even before we do that, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. This is truly an honor. And I would love to just ask, how are the kids, man?
Man, the kids at the moment are at Tennessee at a play camp, you know. So they have 7 days to go over the play of Peter Pan. No. And so there's I think 80 some kids up there doing this. I mean, this ain't no little low budget, you know, church play or low budget. These people go all out.
Oh,
and
shit.
Which my wife Steph and her friend Emily, her mother does it. So they're up there learning these lines, learning these little songs, you know, and all this stuff. So they're having a blast at the moment.
Is that sleepover, or are they coming back every night?
Oh no, it's a sleepover. It's like
a thing. So you got a little vacation.
it's funny because I literally, on the second, I had to go back in and get a little surgery, nothing major, just in and out. So my mom's down here. My mom came down here to take care of me. So then again, my mom, man, she's the best, but she's like that, any excuse she can get to come down, she will.
I hear that.
I understand that completely.
You know? Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
My mom down here, and we've been watching disaster movies and scary movies, like Paranormal Activity movies, and she's all into that stuff, man.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. And before we get into everything else, I had one more question. I'm chatting with you on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
You just put together a beautiful table, man. And I know I'm feeling old now because I get excited about dining room tables and shit, but that is a really nice table. Did you build that, or was that something you bought and assembled?
No, it was me and a couple buddies helped do it type deal. You know, so pretty much, yeah, it's a 10-foot table with 15-inch legs. The legs are huge, man. I mean, the table weighs about 420 pounds.
It's all live, and it's got the live edge on it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, it looks real nice.
It was one of those things where, I always wanted a nice front door from my house. And I always wanted a big-ass dinner table, like a king's table, like the rough edges. You know? Yeah, I wanted one of them.
I feel it, dude. I love it. It's a good look. Well, I was like, damn, dude, that's a nice table. I'm like, God, I'm getting so fucking old.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna lie. I get happy mowing the grass anymore. I'm just yeah, you smell that? Yeah.
Got my white New Balances on.
Oh,
riding mower, never push.
People would see it, you know. People would see the stains on your shoes and know you're working hard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a spin thing.
So speaking of working hard, you grew up in West Virginia, man, at the sort of the end of the 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
What was that like there, man? Was there a big difference from early childhood towards teenage years? And
West Virginia growing up, man, I was that boy that woke up in the morning, went out, started playing, came home for lunch, right? Lunch at a friend's house. I just knew that I had to be home whenever the street lights came on. So that was pretty much my childhood. I would go anywhere, do anything I wanted pretty much, but I just had to be home before the street lights came on.
Yeah, I feel it's sort of the end of that generation that was allowed to do that.
Totally is. I'm scared to let my girls walk down to their friend's house, you know, to where I'm like, man, I was out and about all the time. And you know what it is that you know, you hear about, you know, kidnappings, you hear about, you know, all that stuff, but back when we grew up, we didn't have the internet, so you never heard about it. But yeah. it happened. It went on.
Yeah, you know? I had 2.5, maybe 3 TV channels and like whatever I could pick up on the radio.
Totally. You know, I remember the TV to where you had the antennas and you had to twist it to get the channel. And you got like 12 channels.
Add the coat hanger and the aluminum foil and shit.
Man. And how old are you?
Hit it in just the right spot if it's not working.
I'm like a year younger than you. I'm 84, October of 84.
Yeah. I mean, we're the same.
Yeah. And I grew up in like a little tiny town in northeastern Vermont, like 200 people.
Gotcha.
Like no pavement, nothing. So
yeah. I'm about to say we just had like stop signs, no stop lights. I mean, I always tell everybody the way I grew up, if you ever watched that movie Varsity Blues, like that movie Varsity Blues is like pretty much exactly like my town was. Like, it was just everyone knew everybody. Yeah. Whenever you play sports, they shut the town down. Everyone would go to the games. I mean, that's awesome. It was just, I always compare my like junior high to high school. It's like Varsity Blues, like all the way.
Underrated movie too. I like that.
It was a good movie, man.
Yeah. Well, so what were your first memories of pro wrestling?
I blame it all on my grandfather. It's his fault. He's the one that loved it, watched it. He's the one that got my mom into it. He's the one that took me to the independent shows when I was like 5 years old.
Oh, awesome. As long as you can remember, basically.
Yeah, like I never not known wrestling being in my life somehow, some way, just because it was just, I grew up watching it. I mean, like my family did. I mean, we went, like I said, to the little, you know, Labor Day parades that had a wrestling show out in the, you know, football field and all that stuff. Nice. But yeah, man, like I can't not remember not watching wrestling. It's always been a part of my life somehow.
And was it fairly early on that you're like, I want to do that? Like that's where I see myself.
Man, it was like, I mean, I got my mom, like we were just talking about her. She always likes to bring down like these little, like just surprise bins, you know, like, oh, I found this in our attic here, you know,
and it's like cleaning out her house. I see.
Exactly. So sometimes it's like a treasure, and sometimes I'm like, why the hell did you bring this to me? You know, so it's like all my high school basketball, baseball, and football trophies. I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I don't need them. Like, and it's like she brings like boxes of them. I'm like, damn, what? But then she'll bring like my old 1980 NWA wrestling magazines and like my old VHS tapes of WrestleMania 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, like all
that's
that
kind of cool. Stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's, well, that's cool. Super cool to have like the original broadcast. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, yep. She literally just brought this box to me. I haven't even opened it. But,
oh man, this is breaking stuff here, man.
So look. It has random stuff like this in it.
He blows.
Like, that's incredible.
Like, what the heck? You know? And then, like, you know, she'll, like, bring these to me, like, Nexus pictures and stuff. She was like, hey, you can sell these and sign them. I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess. But just random things.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. So you were just like gung ho, and so first opportunity, you know, were you like looking for places to train? Is that how you sort of ended up in the WWA 4 Atlanta?
Yes,
WWA 4. No, it was like all through high school, man. I played basketball, football, baseball, that stuff, and then I backyard wrestling like on the side with my buddies. And what's funny is that my mother actually brought her backyard wrestling title to me that I have.
Oh, that's awesome. That's one of the ones that you're like, yeah, I got a hold of.
That's pretty funny. So, like, I always had, like, a hunch to do it, but I never thought I would actually, like, really go and try to do it. But it was one of those things that, like, I always said I was going to do it. I always said I wanted to do it. But, like, in my life at that time, like, I went to college to play some basketball. So, like, my mom kept, like, putting down, get a degree, go to college, isn't that? So, I'm like, well, I have to do this before I wrestle type thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was young, dumb, and stupid and lost my scholarship and had to go back home. And then that's when I said, hey, like, I want to start wrestling. And then my mom looked at me like I was nuts. And then my grandfather was literally like, really, that's what you want to do? I said, yes, I think I can do it. I think I'd be good at it. He was like, I support that. You know, like, he was all for it. So I'm like, yes. So talk my mom into it, Paul. You know? So, yeah. They agreed to it, man. So I literally moved down to Atlanta, Georgia with two of my other buddies. We lived in this wrestling house in East Point, Georgia, like the heart of the ghetto. And lived there for about a year and a half, 2 years. And thank God I'm still alive. I'm not kidding, bro. It was dangerous through there, man.
But that's where the best stories come from.
That's true, man. I mean, like, literally, like, I think our house and our cars got broken into, like, once a month.
And I mean, that's Christ.
Dude, that's a fact. Like, we had everything in our house stolen. I mean, from, like controllers to PlayStation 1s that didn't take the system or the games. Like, you know, like, weird shit, you know? Our dryer, our whole dryer.
The whole dryer. Stolen.
Our CDs, our CD players. Like,
hey, at least they left the copper in the walls, man.
Right? It was like, you know, it was like either kids were robbing us or, you know, middle-aged men or something. I don't know. But it always happened when we went to training for wrestling school, man. It was like they had an eye on us. Like, they knew when we were leaving.
It's part of the...
Came in and was leaving. Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the wrestling school scam was like included with your... your tuition fees. He gives little hints to his friends, and
maybe who knows.
So how did you get from WWA 4 to get signed by WWE? Well,
so I was in WWA 4. Like, I literally was on the independence, man, maybe 2 years. I mean, short time. That's why I'm like really excited now, because I'm still at a good age to where I can go out and have some fun and work and everything, but I get to do things that I have never done before, because I was with WWE for damn 15 years of my life.
Right.
So like when I was wrestling at WWA 4 and I was making my name in Georgia, Deep South was opening up, and Deep South was in Marietta, Georgia, probably about 45 minutes from Atlanta. So they opened up the farm league there, the developmental school. I'm a local wrestler that wrestles all through Georgia. Next thing you know, they were looking at my buddy Crew Jones, that they were going to sign him. So they asked him, they're like, hey, man, you have a guy that you're comfortable working that's a baby face, you know? And he was like, oh, yeah, I do. He's like, well, bring him with you next week. So then he talked me into going up there to work him, to where I was just like, bro, I'm not ready. Hell no, I don't want to do that. No, I was all nervous. And he was just like, yeah, well, I told him you were going to. It's going to look really bad if you don't now. I'm like, son of a bitch. But then again, if it wasn't for him, I don't even know where I would have been. I'd probably been on the independence for an extra 8 years or something. Who knows? But he walked me in the door with them. They talked to me. But the people that would come to the independent shows went to those shows. So when I came out, I got like a good reaction because I was a baby face. So everyone's like, who the hell's this kid, you know? Yeah. But the people that watched me for the last year and some change were going to those shows. So they were like, oh, yeah. And I was called the Thriller at the time. The Thriller Heath Miller. And
the Thriller like, Heath Miller.
Yeah, and they'd always be chanting, Miller, Tom, Miller.
Oh,
Tom.
Nice, dude. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, awesome.
That's rowdy.
Yeah, so,
that's a great chant.
Yeah. So, like, I was like an instant baby face. And then, like, next thing you know, after my match with Crew, they were like, hey, man, you mind coming back every other Thursday? You know, like, keep coming. I was like, yeah, sure. So then it was like every other Thursday to every Thursday to them letting me come and train with them to it was just my foot was in the door and I just kept building, man. And then Johnny Ace came up to me and was like, kid, grow your hair out. We don't have no long redheads. I was like, well, okay. So I grew my hair out for about 6 months. He came back and said that I listened. He heard good things about me, and he wants to sign me.
Damn.
So I was signed, man.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. And so then what was Jody Hamilton, like, running things at that point still, or was he sort of out of the picture?
Yeah, man, he was running things at the time.
How was that, man? Is he still running it, like, old school, like, power plant style?
Brother, 100%.
Yeah.
old school as hell. I mean, like about as old as you're gonna get, old school.
Damn, dude.
But yeah,
that's
hard. I mean, there were some times, man, with Jody, and I still remember the one story that no one will ever forget. We would always watch tape after the shows. So he would come in tape watching. Jesus, man, it would take 7 hours. You know, he would just pick apart every little thing. But he had these shorts that were just so short. I mean, so short. Hold on. Y'all hear the story before?
I'm excited for this one.
He had these shorts that were so short. And he would, like, he had, you know, those rolly chairs, but they will spin, you know, to where you can spin and, like, you know, talk to people. His ass spun around. And he's like, you know how old men always puts their hand up on the side and lean over, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like one of those. So he's like doing one of those to talk to us, man. And his nutsack is just static. And I mean, brother, I mean, it's like that. Is this like a fake pair of nuts that he's messing with us?
Are you ripping me right now? I was like, yeah.
It was one of those where I'm like, we're looking at it like, oh man, that's his balls.
Do I say something or do I let this go? Man.
It was just one of those that you was just looking at him, you know, one of those. Like, you know,
it's like the sun. You just try not to stare directly at it.
But yeah, man, that's
oh my God. How long? I mean, it wasn't that long before WWE ended their relationship with Deep South, and then a lot of those guys went to OVW. Did you spend any time in OVW? You just went to FCW, right?
I went straight down to
Yeah.
I never went to OVW, not once. Still haven't ever been there.
Yeah.
We went to practice in the morning. Next thing you know, they all said, hey, we're making a complete change. Everyone come back at the night, but dress up because the boss man's going to be there. So we all had like suits and stuff on, and we walk in there, and next thing you know, they said, all right, boys, we're closing Deep South down. We're moving to Tampa. We don't know where we're going to open up yet, but we just need to get an apartment in Tampa. Don't worry. We'll wire you money to, like, cancel your leases and everything. Just get to Tampa in the next 3 weeks.
And we're holy like, shit, man.
We're just hold on, what? You know, like, what? And then we're in our suits. We are literally taking down the ring, the banners, the bleachers, the guardrails, everything that needs to go to Tampa. And the bad thing about it is that Jody Hamilton is right there watching us just strip it down naked in front of him. And that was his little baby.
Oh, man. That's
dude, watching, just giving us all mean looks whenever we're walking out.
It's like, it's not our fault, man.
Yeah. Gotta be brutal. That's the worst.
But literally just sitting there just. Oh.
Especially after having to look at his nuts for like 7 hours straight.
No, right? That was every week, though.
So one of the first things you were sort of managing, right, as Heath Wallace Miller Esquire.
Well, with that, the reason I was managing is because me and this guy named Bad Seed had a tag match with Rene Dupree, and I forget who was tagging with Rene Dupree at the time, but they were getting ready to go back up to WWE at the time. So we're just working a match with them. So you know how the babyface bumps you out, you go to the floor, you regroup, strategy, bullshit, get back in the ring. So I'm walking around to regroup with Bad Seed. The next thing you know, we're like, oh, yeah. So I look at Rene Dupree and be like, you know, you son of a bitch. And Bad Seed throws his arms up and catches his elbow right in my eye. Boom. And I'm literally like, I go like, you know, sell it back, and I look over and I just can't see nothing. Like, my eyes shut.
Damn.
I get so mad, man. I go for a swing on him. Like, I'm ready to fight him. I swing. Next thing you know, like Dr. Tom, TJ Wilson, Kofi Kingston, they're all like running over, like, no, break it up. The dude's selling, like being stupid outside, elbows me right in my orbital bone and shatters it. So I have a shattered orbital bone, dude. boom, right there.
Just fuck.
And that's why I became a manager, because I couldn't wrestle for about 3.5 months. I couldn't lift weights, couldn't do nothing. They were like, if I had like pressure and stuff, like my eyes.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, yeah. Even you get like the slightest headache back there, and you're like, yeah, so just
that's the whole story about that whole Heath Damn. Wallace Miller Esquire, is because Dr. Tom Pritchard was like, what's your full name? So I told him, he's like, yeah, we're going to put Esquire at that, and you're going to manage it. I said, you son of a bitch, you going to have me manage the guy that took me out?
Just be happy they didn't give you a tennis racket.
Right? maybe I wished I would have had that. I'd hit him with it.
Do you feel like the that, you know, really helped with your mic skills and promo skills in retrospect?
Oh, yeah. And then I had that I had a show called Handsome Pete's Happy Hour.
I was going to ask about the happy hour.
That was some fun. We had no idea what we were doing. We had no clue. Dr. Tom was literally just be like, man, just be yourself. Just keep it entertaining and try to keep it under 20 minutes. And I'm just like, damn, all right, that's a long time. And he just let me go out week after week after week and just get comfortable on the mic and everything, man. And I literally had this song that I came out to. It was from this band called The Revolting Cox. And the song was If You Want My Body and You Think I'm Sexy, the Rod Stewart remake. Damn, I love that song. And I mean, awesome. That was my jam. And I still listen to it to today. And I think about 15 years ago with my hair just shaking it. I used to hump the ring post and everything.
Oh.
Bro, it was, oh yeah. Awesome. I was ready.
FCW just seems like an amazing experience all around for you.
Nothing but a good time there.
That
is where my shell got cracked open, and I was just like, damn, now this is what wrestling is. This is fun. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to work with Harry Smith and Tyson Kidd and PJ Black, Fandango, Alex Riley, Eddie Colon. You won the tag titles with Joe Hennig. And then
I was the Southern heavyweight champ. The Florida champ.
I was going to say, you beat Tyler Rex for the championship.
Yeah, I think I was the first ever guy to win them all.
Dude, that's so cool, man. Like, what a great experience.
I got the replica of the Southern title in the other day.
Oh, shit. All right. that's awesome. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Look at that.
That's a good-looking belt.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a really nice looking belt, man.
Yeah, this is what they had back in the day.
That's so cool.
Carry around.
And now you got it again.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's so like itty bitty when you look at it, but
whatever. Yeah, I'm sure you put that next to your original backyard championship that you got kicking around, and
literally was just laying over there beside of it. I should have grabbed that one.
That's so cool, man. I love it. So, you know, going from that, they bring you up to this new NXT thing, man. What was that like going from that, and you know, the expectations going in, and you know, the reality of the show itself? Like,
man, they gave us no direction. Like that we were guinea pigs. That's all we were. I mean, we were legit guinea pigs on a time show that WWE, I guess, got the luck of the draw, being like, oh yeah, you got a spot for an hour here, you know?
Yeah, because like, I mean, it replaced ECW right on Sci-Fi. Yeah.
Pretty much.
And so it was just kind of...
It was a thing where it was thrown together. And when it was thrown together, they didn't really know who they wanted to bring up or nothing. So they literally was like, you know, who's the top 8 guys down there at the moment? And they picked the top 8 guys. And next thing you know, they had a meeting with us. And they were pretty much telling us, hey, guys, there's NXT... You know, you're going to go up there and do this show. We don't really know what to expect, but, you know, you're going to be having matches and getting points and all this stuff. So we're all just like, okay. But then they wanted to change my name, and it was someone else, I forget. But they wanted to change their names. And I'm just like, because I was going by Sebastian Slater at the time. And Johnny Ace was like, yeah, Vince don't like Sebastian. I was like, well, hell, like, and then they were like, we want you to cut your hair and go to Trunks too. You remind him too much of Edge. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? Like, I don't want to go to damn Trunks, you know? Like, I was like, the shit. And then I was like, and you're the one that told me grow my hair out. You told me cut this shit. Like, what the hell? I am confused, you know? So it's like, we want to bring you up there. We like you and you're a good worker. But we want to change every damn thing about you. I'm like, damn, the world hasn't even saw me yet. Why the hell are you changing me, you know? Yeah. So pretty much, man, my hair was like long, like down to my, you know, nipples, like long mane. I had long tights. I was flamboyant, you know, doing the dancing and all that stuff, coming up to some badass music. And then when I get up there, they want me to cut my hair, go to Trunks, and change my name. So I threw so many names at them, I can't even remember. And then they didn't like any of them. And then, like, literally I had a week, and I literally told Johnny, I said, let me just use Heath. Let me be Heath Slater then. And that's my real name, you know, Heath anyway. And he was like, yeah, I'll pitch it. And I think they didn't even know my real name was Heath or something. I don't know. But they just was like, yeah, let him use that. We like it. So that's how I got to use my real name, you know, with Slater. And then when it came to my hair, my Trunks, I told Johnny, I said, I am not cutting my hair above my shoulders. I said, I'll cut it here. That's as far as it's going. I said, other than that, I said, I guess I'll try to find my way in Trunks, you know?
Yeah.
So that was my first time ever being in Trunks, was national television, walking down the aisle, and me being like just nervous little shit.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, really, think about it. Walking down in your underwear in front of the world.
I've always thought that.
I mean, it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. In the wrestling world, it's totally fine because that's what we do.
Yeah, it's the expectation, but it's still like out of any other context, you're literally walking around, your underwear.
And in NXT, you got paired with Christian, right? Christian, yeah. Well, I mean, what was it like working with him? Was it like an actual mentorship or anything, or was all of that just literally?
It was
like,
all play.
Yeah.
It was all play, but Jay and Edge both, man, they were both good to me. Because, like, Edge and Christian, they were, even backstage, you know, they hang out and they're, you know, they're buddies and all that stuff. But it was like with Christian, like, he would help me, you know, and he would be like, you know, instead of doing it that way, try it this way, you know. Like, he would actually watch my matches up there and legit pick them apart for me and help me. And Edge was the same way. Like, he would come and give me pointers and stuff. So I had, like, E and C in my corner, you know, and here I am, a young kid rookie that they did not have to help me, but they
that's so cool, you know? Man. Yeah, so they just seem, they seem like great people.
A couple pretty incredible people to have in your corner as well. I mean, great workers.
The other way, you know, like it was incredible. It was so good. And then like Arn Anderson, he's like a father in wrestling to me. So he would have my back, you know, like when I would come out of the ring, he'd be like, kid, come here. You know,
wow.
Why the hell did you throw that one punch at the end? The other two look good. That one looked like shit.
That's like, but God, what what brilliant minds to be able to like pick.
Oh man. Like they were always there for. I mean, I guarantee I could still text them now and they'd be like, yeah, man, what's up?
That's so cool.
So I just remember those early NXT shows. I was at one in the Hershey Giant Center.
Okay.
And they had you out there selling programs.
Yeah.
How much did that suck?
Yeah, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. They had us do selling programs. Whoever got the most money went on to win a prize. And then it was, you know, there was a keg carrying challenge.
Oh, God, yeah.
A promo challenge where we're in the middle of the damn ring and they give us a word and we have to cut a promo on it for a minute. And it's just garbage. Every one of them's garbage besides probably Wade's. But it was like that, an obstacle course, you know, just all this shit.
It was so ridiculous.
It is. But I mean, the good thing about it is that, you know, that came from it.
Well, that's the thing is and right before we get to that, because I do want to talk about that, because it's obviously just an incredible moment. But you got, you know, another moment early on where you get like to work with a giant in the industry on my favorite holiday on 420 in 2010. You actually beat Chris Jericho on NXT. Oh shit! It looks like we lost Heath. For
we may have lost Heath.
Looks like he's frozen. Oh. Hey, I'm hold on. You're here. You're back. You're back.
I'm here.
Beating Y2J Chris Jericho on 420 in 2010.
That was on 420.
Yeah, man.
He was real so excited last night. We were researching, and I was like, "Oh my god, he beat Jericho on 420."
He's like, "I was stoked." But dude, what was that like getting to like not just work with Chris fucking Jericho, a guy who pinned The Rock and Austin in the same night? Like an absolute this is a guy who's a legend in the business.
And
you get to pin him on, or you get to beat him on NXT.
I beat him twice, man.
Yeah, dude, how fucking cool was that?
Hey, honestly, that was like it was crazy because like they had me being the undefeated guy, you know, because I went like 6-0 or something before Kane beat me or something, and so it was like I beat Carlito, you know, and that was like my first little upset. But then when I beat Jericho, and I think he was a champ at the time, like maybe not, maybe he was like going for it, you know, or something. But I remember pinning him, and I remember the whole gimmick was I was supposed to pin him and hurry up and rush out the ring. But I pinned him, and I jumped up. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. And you can see him grabbing the ref and trying to put the ref in between us and going after me, being like, get the hell out the ring, damn it. You know?
That's fucking
but
awesome,
yeah, that's a true story. You can watch the match back, but I didn't get out of the ring soon enough. It's supposed to have been that upset. 1, 2, 3, I scurry.
And then
out.
You scurry out and like
but I jumped up and like,
oh shit, dude.
Dude, you beat Chris fucking Jericho, man. It doesn't matter.
And so that was really cool. And I mean it's cool that he let me pin him twice in my career. So like I mean, and they get to say, you know, pretty much with those guys, it's like,
I don't want
this kid to beat me, you know. But Chris has always been good at putting over young talent. I mean, he still does it today.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, like, I tip my hat to that, man. Like, not a lot of guys like to do that. You know, we all know I don't mind putting over anybody. So. But it's one of those things where, like, you got to do that shit, man. You know, to build talent and make it, you know, make them look good. I mean, hell, he's Chris Jericho. He beat Chris Jericho. He's been places. He's done things, you know.
Right.
It's a good thing. And that's funny because, like, we never knew when we were getting eliminated. You know, we honestly had no idea who was getting eliminated, when we was getting eliminated, nothing. It was like, hey, guys, go out there, surprise, one of y'all's leaving. So I remember being out there, and that last promo you hear every one of us do, it's on the fly, bro. Like, here's your last words, da-da-da-da. And I remember when you said, oh, he beat the Rock and Stone Cold in one night, I used that in my promo. You know, I was like, look at you, the man that beat the Rock and Stone Cold in one night. And you know what? I beat you.
I remember people still
play that promo to me. And I'm just like, man, that was from the heart and shooting from the hip, man. Like, that's all I had.
But like, you know, jumping up after Jericho or that promo there, like, and we'll get into it a little bit later, you know, or actually probably really soon. But like, a lot of the things that defined your career were things that, those moments that, you know, you sort of went off script a little bit, you know?
It's really true. I did that a few times.
But honestly, I mean, that's the shit that wrestling fans love. They love, like, when it's just you being you and turning it up a couple notches. So you can't tell where the line is. That's what we like, you know?
No, and that's what makes it real and interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm sorry. I can sit here and still today listen to promos and being like, that's all memorized.
Yeah.
All of that's memorized.
And
but
it's boring.
Sometimes you hear a promo and you're like, uh-oh, they're feeling it. Better listen. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it don't happen often, though. I mean, those are few and far between.
Well, I'm sure the consequences generally are, unless it's like, you know, obvious money.
That's true.
You know, I'm sure Brock Lesnar can get away with doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, but then you know, you look at a guy like that, and like the times he goes off the cuff too, like even just yelling, you know, it's the Suplex City, bitch, you know, and like, it's, you know, like those are the moments that we love. So getting back on track, going from the end of NXT and the elimination, what did you guys know, like when you get eliminated, what happened? Like, I mean, you were just saying you don't know that when, but like what happens after?
Dude, we would literally go back to FCW.
Okay. So that was like, so you go back to FCW and, but there was no like real storyline plan until the end of NXT. Like how, like, was it after the show ended that they called you guys and were like, hey, we got something for you?
It was that Monday in Miami. It was that day.
Damn, shit. Okay.
So what happened was is that like I got eliminated, and then it went down to Gabriel, Untunga, and Wade.
Yeah.
And then they had some three-way and all this stuff, and then Wade wins it type deal. I still would think I should have been in that match, and I think it would have been way
over Otunga, 100%.
Yeah, I
mean, no disrespect, but like you talk about work rate.
I just felt like us three could have killed it because we had matches before where we killed it. So I'm
absolutely. You guys can work.
So after that happened, what I think really got Vince's attention, and I still believe this, is that we all jumped Kane one time. And it was all of us NXT guys were fighting like a couple of WWE guys, and we literally jumped Kane and beat him down, and then the whole crowd booed all of us as a group, you know? And it was like Wade was still a bad guy, I was a good guy, Gabriel was a good guy, we were playing these faces, but we all beat down Kane once, and they booed us, and we all left. And I think that day on, it was like after that happened, like elimination started. You know, and then I think Vince literally was like, oh, we're going to put them together. I love it. You know, like, who knows? I feel like that's what triggered him. But we didn't know anything, what was happening, nothing until it was like a week after NXT, man. Then they were like, all right, Raw's in Miami. We need all of y'all down there to.
Perfect. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So then next thing you know, man. We got to Miami.
So the stars kind of, I mean, just aligned in a lot of ways, because that where they schedule, especially Monday Night Raws, has got to be booked out fucking a year plus in advance. So, holy shit, that's so cool.
But yeah, we didn't know anything until we got there for Nexus.
How exciting was it when they gave you the word?
Well, it was like halfway through the show. And they brought us back in Vince's office, man. And they were like, hey, this is what's happening. And it was like Vince, Hayes, Ace, Dean, Arn, Pat Patterson.
Everyone.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, everyone that was involved. Vince each gave us our Nexus band, handed it to us. I still got mine over here, the original. We got two originals from him. Like personally from him.
That's so cool.
And then they made us a few. But he says, all right, this is the plan. He was like, Cena and Punk's going to have a match. Soon as Cena gets Punk down, we're going to have Wade come out, us through the crowd. He's like, I want everyone to have that armband on. He was like, and I want y'all to destroy everything inside the guardrails. And we were like, okay. And he was like, and I mean destroy everything. He was like, I want y'all to be a pack of wolves, a pack of hyenas, sharks in blood. He was like, if anyone gets in your way, take them out. He was like, all I ask is do not touch a fan and do not touch a camera. And we were like, well, shit, okay.
What an incredible angle.
We had to keep this a secret. Like, it was literally like the first hour of Raw, you know, like type deal. So we were just like, oh, shoot, you know. And then next thing you know, man, once their match happened, they told us to get suited up. And they made everyone go to Gorilla, so they didn't see none of us. And, man, next thing you know, it was like, let's light the fuse and light this bitch up.
Dude, and it was incredible. Like, one of the last, like, great, great Raw segments. In my opinion, there's been a couple like good Raw segments, but like to me, that one was just like, even watching, you're just like, you know, like everyone in the crowd is just like, you're just sort of shocked.
Like, that was the first time where, like, all I heard was like silence, but agony, and like people crying. Like, we're walking back. I'm getting hit with, like, you know, people throwing their cups and stuff. Like, I'm getting hit with shit. Like, it was just, it was one of those things to where we put the whole wrestling world on notice, and everyone was in pure shock of us kids playing these games on NXT that got pissed off. And we just wanted to show everyone what we could really do type deal. I mean, it's a blessing that we were part of it, and it was one of those things that where, like, all the pieces lined up perfect to where how it was we were being mistreated, we were dressing in broom closets, we weren't allowed in the locker room. Like, this is a true story, too. We weren't, like, we were legit dressing in broom closets and everything. And it was just all that shit sandwiches we ate, man. We got tired of the taste.
That's awesome, man. Wow. That was a great story. What was the reaction going back through the curtain? Because, I mean, obviously everyone knows what
everyone
happened.
Everyone just was applauding.
And so when did it become an issue with Daniel Bryan? Because if ever, like it was an awesome segment.
Man, Daniel didn't do nothing wrong.
No, obviously.
Yeah, no.
I've said it in every interview. Daniel did nothing wrong. Daniel did not one thing wrong. He went out there. He was ruthless. He was vicious.
It was amazing.
I mean, it was one of those things where, like, I'm the one that grabbed Justin Roberts. I'm the one that put his jacket around his arm so he couldn't move. I'm the one that knocked him down. They say, dude, Daniel's just chucking the shit out of him while I'm smacking him in his face, you know? Like, I mean, it was like, we were ruthless, man.
Yeah, and it was awesome. And then, you know, do you think it was the combination and then the spitting and Cena's face probably? That's, but
it was all that. Because, but, like, you can even see in that one part where the rope's down, I grab the rope and I go to choke Cena with it. And he literally takes it off. He's like, no choke. You know, that type deal. To where, yeah, I'm like, all right. And you see, yeah, me just drop it. I'm like,
sort of throw the rope away kind,
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, like, you can watch that. Like, I'll watch it back and I'll be like, well, he saved my ass there. Like, but I could have got in trouble too, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? But he was like, no choking, you know, like, but we beat the shit out of Cena though. Like, we laid everything in that night to where he just was like, oh, damn, boys, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was awesome. Oh, it was awesome.
But Cena's a tough dude, man. I know a lot of people give him shit, you know, and all that, but, like, he's a tough dude, man. Like, he loves the wrestling business for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, you don't make it to that point and stay there as long as you did if you don't. You know, you can tell the people who get there and burn out quick are the people who don't care. You know, it happens real quick. So,
very true.
That's awesome. Our good friend Dennis Dave Jr., what do you say, BDJ, just wanted to know about, like, your thoughts on the transition from Nexus to the Core, and then sort of thoughts about the Core, and, like, if it just felt like,
why it was a buttered down version, man.
Yeah, it's like, why are we rehashing it?
Man, what pissed me off. This is what really pissed me off, is that they let Nexus lose at SummerSlam when we should have won at SummerSlam. Yes. Nexus still should have been on top all the way to Mania, instead of us breaking off and being the Core and the Core wrestling SmackDown super group, you know?
Well, you debuted in what, June?
Yeah,
June or July, something like that. It was like June 10th or July 10th, something like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that long before SummerSlam.
It wasn't at all. So SummerSlam took all the wind out of our sails, and then, like, Cena just was like, "Oh, I'll join this and that, but I don't want to join." Blah blah blah. I'm like, dude, you already ruined it, man. Like, it's done. So they thought, you know, with, you know, bringing Punk in and all that, it just watered it down and made it, you know, not good. And then they wanted to break us off and go to the Core SmackDown side. But what they should have done was let us take over fucking WWE. Let us take it over. Let Nexus reign on top. Let the villains rule all the way to Mania. And then get Cena, Edge, Taker, Kane, Big Show, you know, these guys. And then let them beat us at Mania, man. You know, like, let them take us out. Let WWE come back on top. Yay. You know, like, my goodness. How hard would that have been?
It would have been the perfect
story. What happened was is that we got way over, way fast, and they were like, oh, God, we don't know what to do. This train's going 100 miles per hour. Oh, we got to stop it. You know, and it's like, man, fuck you for that. Excuse my language.
No, absolutely not.
Like, seriously, like, we had no problem losing. Because walking in at SummerSlam, we were on top. We were winning. And then, literally, before the show start, we're not.
And we're like, I've heard Jericho shoot on that. Well, yeah, and he was like, Cena, you're fucking crazy. What are you doing?
Dude, Jericho and Edge came up with the whole match. The whole match. They had me beating both of them in less than a minute. You know? Yep. So it's like, hell yeah, look at this. But it's like they came up with the whole match and made us all, and it made perfect sense and was great. And then next thing you know, Super Cena went in there and saved the day. Which would have been great if he would have saved the day at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
SummerSlam. Let us take over. Let us let WWE look like they're in jeopardy, you know?
Let the story mature.
Yes, damn. Yeah. Let it grow up to a nice, pretty tree and then cut the bitch down.
And then build a beautiful live edge table out of that.
Yeah, build a little long cabin. You know?
Oh, man. Shane, you want to talk a little bit about what comes next?
Oh yeah. So a little bit of 3MB action. quick story for you. My dad and I'm from Columbus, Ohio, born and raised, still live here. I'm pretty sure my dad and I saw one of the only 3MB wins in about a year span. I believe it was an episode of Main Event. It was taped before SmackDown was live, Columbus. It was U3 versus Tons of Funk in a 3-on-2 handicap match unannounced on Main Event, which is still one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Probably.
But 3MB ended up winning, and my dad, Wade, and I popped large. So thank you for that. I'll never forget it. But with 3MB, like who came up with that? Is that creative? Is that you three? Because like is
oh, no, what it is wasn't us three at
yeah,
all.
I mean I wouldn't assume so, but you know.
So with 3MB, story with 3MB is that I was doing the whole one man band. You know, yeah. I was the one man.
And you had been doing that for a while.
Yeah. For a while, you know. But Vince just hates my accent. Like he wanted me to like change.
Vince hates the South.
Like go to like vocal classes, try to change my accent, like all this shit. To where I'm like, Vince, bro, like, sorry, baby, but this is me. I don't
understand that shit.
Bro, I don't either. Like he's done that to a lot of people though. Like it's not just me. Like I guarantee you there's been more people out there.
Oh, 100%.
So he wanted me to try to change my voice to where like, you know, I it ain't gonna happen. So I didn't even try being honest. You know, I was like, sure, you know, but no. I just started talking a little slower and not as but like he wanted me to be the one man band, it was the one man rock band, the one man southern rock band, the one man country band, or I don't know. He had me doing so much stuff to where I was like, man, can I just be the one man band? Let me pick a lane. It covers everything. I don't have to be rock, country, jazz. Let me just be one man band, like whatever. So he was like, yeah, I like that. So I ran with it for a while. So then it wasn't going nowhere, ran its course. I was like, come on, I need a band now. Like, I need a band. Like, I've been a one-man band. Let me have a band. So they're just like, oh, well, who are you thinking? So I pitched Ambrose, Fandango, and EC3. And this is before any of them were on TV. But, Fandango and EC3 were all on, like, NXT Season 3 or something. So I pitched for those three. And then they were like, oh, okay, you know, let me get back with you. And this is Michael Hayes the whole time I'm talking with. So they month goes by, nothing, you know. And I'm like, Hayes, baby, what the hell, man? I need this band. He's like, oh, I got you. Hold on, I got you. So probably about two more weeks went by. He comes up to me. He's like, you're getting your band, baby. You're getting your band, you know. And I'm just like, hell yeah. You know, I'm like, hell yes. So I'm like, is it who I pitched? He was like, no. I said, hold on. I was like, Ambrose? He's like, nah, we got something for him. And of course, it was the Shield. I was like, what about, you know, Dango? He's like, no, we got something for him. So it was Fandango, the dancing dude. And then I was like, well, what about EC3? You know, it's Hutter at the time. He's like, no, not him. And I'm like, shit, why not? And then they just fire him, you know? And I'm just like, the hell? And then he's like, don't worry, you'll love it. I was like, well, who is it? He was like, it's not 100% yet, but it's going to happen tonight. I'm like, what do you mean? And I said, I'm just, you know, getting strung along. So he comes back to me, and he's literally like, all right, man, it's settled. You know, you're going to do it when you wrestle Tons of Funk or something. It was Funkasaurus or something. I'm like, all right, well, who's in the band? He was like, Jinder and Drew. And I literally just was like, what? And he was like, McIntyre and Mahal. I said, what the hell? I said, that sounds like a bad joke, man. Like a Scotsman, an Indian, and a redneck walks into a bar. You know, like, dude, bro, when he told me that, I said, Drew's going to be pissed, man. Like, Drew's going to be pissed. And because Drew always wants to be that badass, serious dude, you know, because he legit is.
Yeah. But,
like, he wants to be that dude. And him being the Drew on me is just...
It never sold.
It was literally like one of those things to where literally we were good friends outside of wrestling, you know, first off. So then, and then it was... We're traveling the road together. We're buddies. We should make the best of this shit, you know? And Jinder is that guy that he'll be like, all right, man, let's go. Let's try this. Drew, on the other hand, was more like pulling teeth a little bit. But we finally got him comfortable, and he was like, well, I always wanted to be a rock star and a wrestler, so I might as well do both, you know? So he got on board with it. But it was still, man, like, we were the first three-man group, then New Day, then Shield, then all that. Like, we started that shit, you know, they copied us. And then it was just, like, how it all ended, too, man. It was just, like, we had our calendar. We were booked 3 months every week, just out. Next thing you know, we got our calendars again, booked 3 months out. And then they got fired. And we're like, the hell, what happened, you know? So it was like, Jinder gets fired, he calls me. Drew gets fired, he calls me. I'm like, guys, I'm next, you know, let me call you back. Never got it. So literally, I called Mark Carano. I was like, dude, did you forget to call me? Like, what's up? Dude, I swear I did.
I was going to ask about it because it's such an amazing story.
Brother, like, I straight called.
You must have, I mean, you must have just been sitting there like, fuck it. What have I got to lose? Pants.
Brother, like literally, I literally was just waiting. Just come on. Ed, the ring. Come on. You already called him. My next, call me. Dude, never happened. So I called him and he just was like, nah, bud, you're safe. I said, what the hell? How? Like, what's going on? He was like, man, he just budget cuts. I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I was confused, man. I was lost, though. I was with them for 2 years, being this rock star, damn, 3-on-P-tune. And then, like, you lose your two boys, and you're like, shit, you're all alone, trying to find yourself again. Like, it's just a weird feeling, man.
Yeah. And they sort of put you in some different tag teams after that.
Brother, you just make the best of what you get. Yeah. Well, I was always that guy that took chicken shit and turned it to chicken salad.
Well, I know Shane wanted to talk a little bit about some of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so what was up with Slater Gator? Like, again, is that just bullshit that, you know, they're like, hey, man, just there you go.
Two southern guys.
Brother, Slater Gator with me and Titus. Literally was Vince just wanting him to have something, me to have something.
Yeah.
And I was in a promo, and I just off the top of my head, I was like, yeah, baby, I guess we're Slater Gator here. You know, you're Florida Gator. My last name's Slater. It rhymes, sounds good. We'll go always. But it was just me coming off just bullshit, not even caring. And then next thing you know, everyone's like, yeah, Slater Gator.
Well, same thing with I Got Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole total mess up too, man. You know,
how scared were you? I mean, and so from that point on, was everything from that point on just off the top of the head? Because well, obvious, because or was there supposed to be that talk about your kids?
Well, the talk about my kids was like not even supposed to have been mentioned. You know, it's supposed to be me trying to find a job, and then then totally like I had a brain fart and I forgot my lines, man.
Because Brock's response was incredible.
Oh yeah, I mean that's Brock Lesnar, and he can say that.
So that stuff, like him inviting you in the ring and getting close, is like, I want to talk. I got kids. I want to talk about your kids. Yeah, I don't give a damn about you.
Yeah.
Oh wow, what an amazing moment.
It was just one of those things where like I had a brain fart, and next thing you know, I got kids, damn it, I need this job.
So you know, that, like, and then
fight you.
It was awesome. It was a great moment. Yep. That the Slater Gator, like yep. just so many moments.
But and what was really fun for me through the career was when I got to work all the legends, man. Like working Vader and Sid and Keish and Piper. Cyndi Lauper and Animal and like just all those guys, man. Like
who is under the mask as Doink?
Oh, that was Brawler.
That was Brooklyn
Brawler?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Brooklyn Brawler, man.
Steve Lombardi's just hanging out.
I mean, how were all of their attitudes towards you? Was it like a really cool situation with most of them? Or
no, all of them was cool.
Oh, very cool.
I can't, like, you know, people want to say, oh, Vader, he was an asshole, wasn't he? I'm like, not to me. Sid Vicious, man, you better be glad he made it. Wasn't softball practice. You know, he's an asshole. It's like, man, he was cool as hell with me.
You made all those guys look incredible.
But dude, yep. they were nice, man. Like I don't have not a bad word to say about, you know, any of them just because they came in genuinely like, dude, thanks for doing this for me type deal. Yeah. Dude, yes, most of them forgot everything in the ring. And I'm not good at remembering shit in the ring either. So I'm like, oh God!
You took one hell of a clothesline from fucking JBL. Holy shit, dude!
Hey, there's a funny story behind that one too. So, all right, I'll make this quick. So before that moment, so all the legends coming down, you know, APA lead, all this stuff. So Road Dogg looks at me. He was like, "I dare you! Before you walk out, look at JBL and tell him to lay that shit in." And I just looked at him. I was like, you don't believe I'll do it, do you? He's like, no. I said, watch. So
he I have laid that
mic
in
my hand. My music plays. JBL and me, you know, we were like cool, but we weren't that cool. He like smacks me on my back kind of hard, you know. He's like, you got this, kid. I said, hey, make sure you lay that shit out. Make sure you lay that shit in when you get out there. And I just walked right through the curtain. Bro. After everything happened and he stood me on top of my head, I got to the back and Road Dogg is just dying. He hugs me. We're laughing our ass off. And he was like, you should have seen JBL's face. He was like, what'd you say to him? I said, you better lay that shit in when you get out there. He threw his hands up. And he's like, oh, he was like, bro, he said that JBL looked at me go through the curtain. And then he was like, did y'all hear that shit, head? Bro, went off.
Holy shit, that's hilarious.
But it made us, like, good buddies, though. Like, me and JBL is cool as hell now. So, to me, it was just a cool moment, cool time, good story.
That's so cool.
But, yeah, he laid that shit in, too, as you can see.
Yeah, well, it looked incredible.
It was a rough one.
I felt it.
Shane, you want to talk about Rhino a little bit?
Oh yeah, just real quick. Yeah, Rhino again, just thrown together because I remember watching that live and just being like, "What the hell is going on here?" Like,
man, the whole Rhino thing. So yeah, let's get this one out. So. I'm doing free agent. I don't get drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that was a JBL call. JBL is the one that said, you know what? You want to make the last ending funny? Don't draft Slater, you know? And Vince loved it. Vince was like, oh, I love it. You know? So JBL smartens me up. So he comes to me. He's like, hey, I just want you to know you're not getting drafted tonight. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, you're going to get the lights shut out on you. What you do with it afterwards is up to you. And I said, I'm like thinking like, okay, shit, you know. But he's like, don't say nothing. I said, all right, I got you. Lights go out. The whole day I'm just like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What should we do afterwards? This and that. So then afterward, it was like, you know, I got mad. I threw the chair. I got up. I stormed off. I'm like, Stephanie Shane, you missed somebody. And then, you know, they end on that. You know, next thing you know, I go up to Ed Costney. I'm like, hey, man, what's the plans with me? He's like, no, don't worry. We're just going to say that, you know, we drafted you to SmackDown later on the internet. I'm like, fuck that. No. I said, let's make a story out of this. Let me go to Raw and SmackDown and, like, compete and try to earn my way to a company. I said, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be seen on Raw. I'm going to be seen on SmackDown. I'm going to be in a storyline on Raw, on SmackDown every week, you know?
Insanely smart.
That's where I'm thinking. So I'm, like, pitching these ideas, like, let me go back and forth. Let me have Stephanie be like, well, if you can beat this guy, I'll get you. Shane be the same, but I keep showing heart to where they want me. But then I play, so how much you offer? Game, I get above my head, you know, just to make it funny and good. And then, like, Vince is all for this. Vince is like, yes. And I said, you know, it'd be great. It's like, then they give me, hey, you know what? If you can beat The Miz, because he was the IC champion at the time, I was like, if you can beat The Miz, you know, you can get this contract. But I beat him. But then I become the IC champ, but I don't sign the contract, but I have the IC title. And I'm like, oh, shit, I can go anywhere I want with the title, this and that. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like, so much better than anything.
You're trying to pilmanize yourself, man.
Brother, I was throwing all these ideas, and Vince literally loved it. He was like, I like it. The only thing he didn't want me to do was, like, I told him, like, when I'm in, let me be this free agent, but let me go to, like, Evolve. Let me go to, like, you know, these other little indie shows where people are like, damn, is Slater not really with them? Like, but you know, like, really screw with them, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, let me go work McIntyre down here in Evolve, you know? Let me go and work this kid over here in this company, you know? Like, this stuff where people can really...
Can't do that, pal.
Exactly. So, my whole idea, go for the IC title. Go for the IC title. Shane, Stephanie, IC title. Next thing you know, the big boom came down. We're making SmackDown this new thing live on Friday. SmackDown Live. We're having new titles, new this, new that, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, Vince was like, you're going to be the first ever SmackDown Live Tag Team Champion. I'm like, hold on. What happened to this IC run? I've already had that title 3 times. I don't want it no more. I want the IC title. I was like, I want that one, you know. He's like, no. He's like, we got plans with Miz. I was like, come on, Vince. I got these ideas, you know. Like, he's Hollywood. I'm hillbilly. We can do skits where he does hillbilly things with me, but I do Hollywood things with him. And it's just comical and funny and it don't work, you know? And he's just like, no, I got other plans. He's like, but you're going to be tagging with Rhino. And I'm like,
what?
I'm literally like, what the? Where do you come up with this shit? Like, you know? And brother, like, next thing you know, but you know, as much as I want the IC title, and as much as that's the only title I've ever wanted in this wrestling world, you know, I got a damn best friend out of it, you know, out of Rhino, because we traveled together and everything for nearly 4 years.
Yeah, and you guys went and won an indie title as well, right?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. Right before I got hurt. But no, like, he's a damn good friend. He's like a brother to me, and me getting a friendship like that over a title any day is good in my book. So, I mean, hell, I'm 37. I'm going to give myself to about 46 to wrestle. If I don't make it back up there and get it, man, my boots are hung up.
there's still a prophecy to fulfill, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe in the prophecy.
Oh, the prophecy is true.
The prophecy is true.
I'm about to say, I mean, it might be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm going to still stay in shape and be ready for it if it happens.
Well, we're rooting for you, man.
We will be too.
100%. 100%, man.
You're right, baby. Yeah, about to say, I still got a couple obstacles to go over, a few more months before I'll be back. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they're definitely going to be to be continued for sure.
Yeah, well, things are starting to get back to normal, man. So COVID took you out, man. But hopefully the return to normalcy can get you back. Man.
Dude, that's exactly what I'm hoping for.
That's so awesome, man. Well, we're really grateful that you joined us. I hope you enjoy the rest of the time before you get to go watch your kids perform in Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Enjoy the little parent vacation.
Most importantly, right. Is there any shit you need to plug?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, I got, you know, the pro wrestling t-shirts. I got some stuff with Grudge Match Bram and Total Debacle. You can find them on Instagram. I'm on Cameo, but I'm so bad at Cameo. Like, I get notifications, and then you only get, like, 2 or 3 days to do them, and then I forget. People are like, what the hell, man?
You're better than DDP.
Yeah, maybe. I hope.
The DDP charges a lot, and then he just does an ad for DDPY.
He's like, hey, brother, we're going to change your life here, man. I guarantee
DDPY,
it.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all I got, I think. I mean, awesome, I might have some more stuff. Oh, I got a show on a side network, Heath House.
Oh, shit.
One of my buddies, he has a little network. It's like $5 a month, $5 a month, $60 a year or something. But he has stuff with like Lita and her UFO and excursions. The Good Brothers have a little network show on there where they do all their crazy dumb shit.
Oh, cool.
Yo, that shit is sick. I had no clue.
They have, all right. Yeah, he does some stuff with like all these band members like Twisted Sister, Maynard, and he does this other stuff with like all the famous bars around the lands and their famous drinks and stuff. Like, it's all a right. Cool little network, man. People just don't know about it.
All
wrestling,
right.
Metal, and drinking. I don't know who that. All
right, Heath's House.
To, but it's probably
yeah, it's
me.
Heath House.
Yeah, you just it's check. You just check every listen. Single box for Shane.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it's a good little network, man. And it's like cheap, man. It's $5 a month, you know. Yeah. Like, it's really nothing, yeah, but awesome. He puts out some good shit.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, on that incredible bombshell, make sure you subscribe to that network. It's cheaper than any OnlyFans you're going to find, and we have been Such Good Shoot, the podcast about anything and everything wrestling with our special guest, Heath Miller, today.
Oh, baby.
Have a great night, everybody.